said he was born to be the number one pick in last night's NBA draft, and now he might have a chip on his shoulder. LaMelo fell behind Anthony Edwards and James Wiseman. Michael Jordan reportedly gave the Hornets a stamp of approval for the youngest Ball brother, and the team ran with it, selecting him third overall. Fox Sports NBA analyst Chris Broussard joining us now. Chris, are LaMelo and MJ a good match?
Well, they're certainly a better match than LeVar and MJ, so that's a plus. Look, Michael Jordan really liked LaMelo. He may like LaMelo as much or more than anybody else in the organization. So he's going to be invested in Melo's success. He knows that they need major star power. They were 28th out of 30 teams in attendance last year before COVID hit, and fans will be back at some point. So they need somebody with some star power. But you guys, both Skip and Shannon, you know Michael Jordan as well as I know him too. And we know that he is going to challenge LaMelo. He's going to push him to see what he's made of. And if Melo's tough enough to handle it, I think it could help him become the player that we all think he can, because he's got great potential, but he's also got a ton to work on, He's got to be more engaged defensively, even just as an off-ball defender, getting his rotations right, staying alert. He's obviously got to work on his shot. He shot 25% from three-point range in Australia, so he's got to work on that. But he's not only going to be challenged by Jordan. The two best players on the Hornets are point guards. Now, they may make some trades because obviously they want LaMelo to be the man, but Devontae Graham, who was one of the most improved players in the league last year, averaged 18-7, played 4 years at Kansas, so there's a lot of substance to him. He's going to challenge LaMelo. Terry Rozier, now he may get traded, but we know he didn't defer to Kyrie. So you know he's not about to defer to an 18-year-old kid with 5.5 million Instagram followers. So they are going to go at Melo. And one of the questions some people have about him is he's always been in tailor-made situations. So at Chino Hills, we saw him. They played cherry-picking ball. Everything was, you know, they didn't play defense. They cherry-picked and all that stuff. He played exhibition games in Lithuania. His high school, Spear High School in Ohio, was based around him. In Australia, the league paid him and made sure he started on his team. So how much has he really had to fight to earn things on the basketball court? I think he's going to have to fight in Charlotte. And again, if he's made of the right stuff, it'll help him become a better player and maybe reach his potential. If he's not, it could be tough for him and tough for the Hornets. So, look, I want the kid to succeed, so I'm going to say that he's got it in him to take what MJ and the Hornets dish at him, and he'll be a better player for it.
I just want you to know that I'm taking LaVar in the plus five against Jordan in the one-on-one head battle. That's all I want you to know right there, because I got LaVar. LaVar 255, 260, backing him down in the post. He already told you when he was young, Jordan couldn't stand up to him. So I know Jordan now after like four of those brown liquor shots and that the cigar that Skip hate. Mm-hmm. Win ain't too good. So I'm taking LaVar in the plus five. I agree with you. I agree, Chris. I think this is a tailor-made. I think it's really good. It's not like Jordan's going to be there day-to-day. Jordan is not the head coach. But like you said, Jordan ain't gonna have no problem coming down. You can say a little funny thing, bro, you're not that good. I wish I was playing now, because I'd have gave it to you. That's how Jordan wants to see where you are mentally. Now, Jordan get in shape and maybe go one-on-one. I don't think he's there anymore. But how could it not succeed? And I agree with you on this. They need star power, Skip. And LaMelo is just one piece of that puzzle. But they need to hit on a guy, and hopefully LaMelo is the guy, and keep him. That's what they got to do. They got to get a Giannis. Maybe if they can land on a Giannis, Skip, and get it, maybe Melo can be their Giannis.
Yep.
Because if Milwaukee told you they knew Giannis was going to turn into Giannis, they'd be lying. Because if they did something, they'd have moved up to the number one spot and taken it. But
15th, right?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. But I like the pick. You knew everybody said it was top three guys, and then everybody else after that. So we knew one of these guys Melo was going no worse than third. Some people had him projected to go number one overall to the Minnesota. That didn't happen. I think he landed in a good spot. Like you said, they got 2 point guards. One of them's going to have to go. Somebody's got to go, Skip. That's just the way it is to make room for this kid. And I think he's made of the right stuff. His dad has instilled in him. He's made of the right stuff. I think he's going to come out with flying colors, and I think he's going to be a very good player for the Hornets.
So, Chris, for me, this was a match made in hoop heaven because these two needed each other. Let's start with Michael. No bigger fan on the planet than me of Michael Jeffrey Jordan. But as a GM, he went from being the GOAT player to the worst GM in the history of basketball. And I can't sugarcoat it because he has overseen the Charlotte basketball operation for 15 years, and they made the playoffs in the Eastern Conference 3 times and lost all 3 first-round series. Got swept twice. It's just all-time embarrassing and humiliating for Michael, and he needed a sideshow. He needed a gate attraction. He needed a draw, and he got ball in the family. And this kid, to me, as I said yesterday before the draft, he's by far the most gifted player in this very average to below average draft. Mm-hmm. He has potential greatness, but I'm not sure about his mental toughness that Shannon says MJ is about to test. I don't think you can teach killer will, but maybe you could antagonize it out of somebody a little bit. Maybe you can fire test it out of somebody. And he's about to get fire tested. He's going to get his baptism by MJ fire. And I love it that he's going to go from LeVar as his father figure to Michael as his father figure. Michael will take him under his wing. He will mentor him, but it'll be tough love. And he will get the greatest that there is out of this kid because Michael is attracted just to greatness. When he sees it, he knows it. And this kid has Lonzo's passing gift, and he has creativity that I haven't seen on the low level, the 18-year-old level, since Pete Maravich. I'm talking about just creating shots, just making them up on the fly, trying this. You got to give him the greenest light in the world and let him operate.
Now, I don't know if he's going to be getting that Steph Curry, Klay Thompson type lights.
No, I got it, but it's different. It's like he's making up shots and passes fly where you say, where did that come from? Some of them work, some of them don't.
Right.
He is an unbridled, unfocused, unmade talent right now. And I think Jordan will be the perfect spot for him to try to figure it out on the fly very quickly. And, Chris, all I know is next year, I can't believe I'm saying this, but for me, Charlotte is must-see TV. I will be watching LaMelo. I don't care who's playing around him, and I agree with you. How does Devontae Graham, how does Rozier? I don't know how it fits, and I don't care. Because at least they're relevant now as far as watchability, right?
I think the biggest thing that helps LaMelo is Lonzo. The biggest thing that helped me was I had a brother that was already in the league, told me what I needed to do.
Yep.
Shannon, you need to make sure
That's
you get the ice bath, and you need to do this and X, Y, and Z, and your study tape. Now, the ice bath, I was like, man, I feel good. I'm 22 years old. I don't need all that stuff. And then you're like, okay, I should have listened to him a little earlier, but I'm going to listen to him now. So he can teach LaMelo, okay, LaMelo, you're here. Hey, make sure you get the ice on your knees, get your feet in the ice tub because, hey, you're on a plane and you're going to the next city that same night. You got to, after shoot around, go get that nap in.
Yep.
So, because you're going to be playing at night. No more day games, buddy.
Yeah.
You're playing at night.
And big brother does play defense and little brother plays none.
No. I don't know if you can teach him that.
Right. Okay.
That's about want to. That's about desire.
It might help him that Lonzo's kind of struggled. You know, because Lonzo, everybody thought, I mean, heck, Magic said his jersey was going to be in the Raptors, in the rafters up in Staples Center. And obviously he hasn't lived up to that potential. So maybe that will help LaMelo see that, look, this is not going to be easy.
No.
And I hear you, Skip, because I want to see LaMelo play just as much as anybody else. But I think it would be wise, and I don't know if it's even kind of possible today. You know, it's a different sports landscape. But they should not rush him into the spotlight. Like, if he's not ready yet, then I think the best thing would be to make him, you know, not play him as much and make him earn that spot rather than learn in the fire Look, we saw it. I know it was a while ago, but Kobe Bryant averaged 7 points as a rookie. You know, this kid's essentially kind of come out of high school.
Yep.
And most guys, other than LeBron James, didn't come out into the league and play a lot right away and do big things right away. So that wouldn't be the worst thing for him, but I don't know. Charlotte, I know they want to get him out there on the court right away. He obviously wants to play right away. I hope that's not a mistake by just handing him the keys and letting him go from day one.
Well, he's going to have to, you know, the thing is, Skip, is that when you're this and everybody knew about LaMelo Ball before he got to the NBA, he's going to get everybody's best and brightest every single night.
Yep, I agree. But one thing about these Ball kids, they're not afraid. They're not intimidated. They've been in the fishbowl since they were like 12, right?
Yep.
Okay, so I think he can stand up to whatever the NBA is going to dish out mm-hmm. on him.
It's just because think about what Lonzo got with Pat Bev.
Oh.
And that was
first night.
Skip, that was just 1 year
yep.
of LeVar.
Yep.
They've had another 3-4 years of LeVar talk about Melo, so you yep. know they're coming.
I'm looking forward to watching it, but I hope LaMelo just soaks in all the
his potential more than Lonzo's.
Do you?
Yeah.
You guys
yeah.
there, too?
Yeah.
I like his potential more than Lonzo's.
Well, and I think LeVar really had been saying that to us from the very beginning, so it's going to be fun to see where he begins and his journey. It starts now, just really a month away from the season. Chris, we appreciate you joining us, and we'll check in with you very soon.
No mercy.
Saturday strong with the Big Noon Kickoff Show live from Columbus at 10 a.m. Eastern, followed by Big Noon Saturday, where Indiana looks to continue their incredible season against Heisman contender Justin Fields and No. 3 Ohio State. It's all on Fox and the Fox Sports app. I am gearing up for that one, and it is always more fun to walk around Columbus with Urban Meyer alongside. I'm happy to have the guys with us Saturday. So, guys, Kyler Murray is now fourth in MVP odds at plus 700, according to Fox Bet. The second-year QB barely trails Aaron Rodgers, who is third at plus 300, and Russell Wilson and Patrick Mahomes, who are tied at the top at plus 200. So, Shannon, who has the edge for MVP?
Mahomes is not even close. I don't know where to get a tie from. Mm. He has 27 total touchdowns, one turnover, averaging nearly 300 yards passing the game. His team is 8-1. They're second in the league and scored at 32 points a game. He's first in QBR. Next would be Aaron Rodgers, 26 touchdowns, 3 interceptions, second in QBR. He has 4 games this season in which he's thrown 4 touchdowns and 0 interception, and his defense isn't very good. Third on my list is Ben Roethlisberger. Skip, I don't think people realize how under the radar he's been. Now, they got a 9-0 record because a lot of that on their defense. But Big Ben is 22-4. And he threw 3 interceptions in 1 game against Tennessee, but they ended up winning that game. So those will be my top 3. My fourth guy would be, I hate to admit it, Tom Brady. Tom Brady is in the 4th spot. Russ has dropped out of the top 5 for me, Skip. I don't know if people know this, but Russell Wilson is tied for 2nd in the league in turnovers. Carson Wentz is 1-16. He's tied with Daniel Jones with 13. And that interception he threw yesterday, Skip, Russ has the first down. Just keep running. He stops, throws clear across his body to the back pylon on the other side and gets it picked. His decision-making, he's trying to play. No, I don't need Russ to cook all the time. Come on, Russ. Too many turnovers. So, and next will be Kyler. Skip, the thing that's hurting Kyler turns the ball over a lot. He has an interception of 6 of the 9 games. He's 10th in QBR. He has 2 games under 200 yards passing. And yesterday, he's right on the cusp. He's at 202 before that last big play. And so, for me, those are my top 5 quarterbacks. Mahomes, Rodgers, Big Ben, Tom, Kyler.
Okay, let's look at the quarterbacks who have taken steps back. Russell Wilson, as you talk about, let Russ cook. He's cooking Seattle more than he's cooking the opposition.
Exactly.
He has 10 turnovers in the last 4 games. That's by far the most in the whole league over the last 4 games. So he has played his way right out of the MVP race.
Correct.
Aaron Rodgers had a bad game yesterday by his standards. He had a 45 QBR against Jacksonville, the 31st ranked defense at Lambeau on the frozen tundra. It took him the whole game to overcome Jacksonville, 24-20. That's a step back for me.
It is a step back.
Yeah, it is. It's a step back. Sorry. Drew Brees, I thought, had vaulted right in the middle of this until yesterday when he didn't even get to 100 yards passing in the first half and took a shot, got body slammed. Now they're saying it's his back and his ribs. He's having an MRI today. We'll see how that plays out, but that could be...
You know how to say, you can't miss games in the MVP as wins.
And it could be, it could get a little more interesting for Tampa Bay if he can't play. Then it'd be Jameis. I don't know. He's been a turnover machine in his career. Will he be for New Orleans?
I don't think they'll put him in that situation.
Probably
I don't think they'll ask him not to do. But what's interesting is that who are they turning to? Now, they gave Taysom Hill. They believe in him. They gave him a two-year deal. It tells me they believe more in Jameis as a quarterback.
Well, do they? They put him in yesterday. Would they start him next week?
Jameis is starting.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Because every time I see Taysom Hill, he just does great stuff.
Yeah.
He bullied Tampa Bay.
Oh, that didn't see him.
Bullied.
They didn't see him.
Oh, not saying much
they
when they
much.
Came in with the number one defense.
Oh, Nick Foles bullied him.
Okay, so Drew Brees out for the moment. Josh Allen looked like he was entering the fray, and then he played very well yesterday but lost, had one big turnover.
Two.
And that brings us back to Patrick Mahomes.
Mahomes, homie.
Out of sight, out of mind yesterday, but was coming off not a very good game. He got outplayed in his last game at home by Teddy Bridgewater.
Skip, how you say he got outplayed?
Well, because I'm looking at the QBRs. Teddy Bridgewater had an 89 to Mahomes 83 at home.
Okay.
And by the way, have you noticed that the easiest schedule played so far and all of the AFC belongs to Kansas City? They played the easy schedule. Their opponents have a winning percentage of .398. Well, that's well below .500.
Well, when you play Mahomes, you're going to have a losing record. Because when you come to town, you know you're taking the L up out of there.
Yeah.
But, Skip, what am I supposed to do about these 27-1? What am I supposed to do with that?
Well,
so where is the QB? Since Teddy Bridgewater outplayed in one game, how many people have played him through the entirety of the season?
Well, this is what Pro Football Focus wrote last week, coming off his game against Bridgewater. It has been an inconsistent season for Patrick Mahomes, whose rating by Pro Football Focus model was slightly under Tom Brady's rating. That was last week. Well, Tom Brady played his best game of the year yesterday at Carolina against that same Teddy Bridgewater, and his rating can only go up after that game.
Skip, I guarantee you, I can ask all 32 general managers.
I don't care. I'm just going off what the numbers
say. Skip the numbers. Skip, you know the numbers are flawed. Mm. Now, you know, Skip, all that aside, nobody will tell you Tom Brady has outplayed Patrick Mahomes. Mm. I'm not talking about career achievement. I'm talking about for the 2020 season. Mm. There is no way a guy has seven interceptions, has fewer touchdowns, more interceptions, less passing yards, lower QBR, lower completion percentage, lower yards per attempt, and he's played better and a worse record. How?
This is last week because they haven't done it yet for this week. We'll get it this afternoon. But Tom Brady going into this game at Carolina ranked third in the league in big-time throws and third in turnover-worthy plays. How few he'd have.
Skip, the big-time throws. But I saw him miss four big-time throws yesterday.
By the way, they were all overthrown, which means his arm is much bigger than you're giving it credit for.
Whoa, come on. I thought the objective was to complete the ball, not to have a big-time throw. So if it was a big-time throw, Skip, if it's not completed.
I will bet you his rating on Pro Football Focus's formula, and I have a lot of respect for him because NBC is aligned with them. Chris Collinsworth helps them. Mike McCarthy worked with them last year.
Mike McCarthy need to go back and get – see, they have Mike McCarthy thinking that his – look at what he's doing.
Mm.
Skip, so in other words, if I almost get a win, that's as good as getting a win, right?
It has been an inconsistent season for Mahomes. He played Brian Hoyer at Kansas City and stunk it up against him.
Skip, Skip, your guy got one impressive win. They beat the Packers. We know the Packers' defense is overrated. We understand that.
How about the win at Las Vegas? You don't think they're coming on strong? Tom just picked them to pieces at Las Vegas.
Well, why didn't he pick the Bears to pieces?
Why didn't he
pick Tampa to pieces?
But you mean pick New Orleans?
Yeah, the Bears and New Orleans. Why did he pick them to pieces, Skip?
Well, New Orleans has his number, but in all the other games, especially that game yesterday, I think he's right back in the middle of the MVP. If you say Mahomes is the MVP, then I got to say, well, Brady's the MVP. And who has the better story? You always tell me it comes down to narrative. I think it's Tom Brady.
Tom does have the story. Yep. Skip, look at the, what does the number, Skip, the guy's on pace to throw for almost 50 and 5,000 again. And you, what, Skip, look, if you talk about career achievement, Skip, I'm not talking about what Tom Brady's done from 2000 to 2019. I'm not talking about that because it's not close. I'm talking about for this season. Who in their right mind think Tom Brady has outplayed Patrick Mahomes? I said in their right mind. I'm talking, when I say in their wrong mind, that's you.
I'm in more of a right mind than you are.
Skip, he hasn't outplayed Aaron Rodgers.
You get blinded by Brady hate. You just conceded that he's like fourth on your list.
Yes!
Well.
How?
I think he just vaulted up above Mahomes.
Let me ask you a question.
He's already above him.
Let me ask you a question. He has more turnovers than all those guys. Mm-hmm. He has fewer interceptions than two of those guys. Mm-hmm. He has a one-loss record that's worse than everybody on this list. How is he in front of them?
He's 7-3 and took over a team that was 7-9 last year. 7-9.
So Ben Roethlisberger took over a team that was 8-8. Mm-hmm. They got 9 wins right now. Mm-hmm. Aaron Rodgers has lost 2 games. Mm-hmm. My homeboy has lost 1 game. How many guys has Tom Brady lost? That many?
Yep.
So in other words, Skip, did you know this? He lost more games, him by himself, than the other 3 guys in front of him combined.
Huh. What do you tell me about Ben Roethlisberger at this stage and age of his career? He's turned into check down Ben, right?
That's what you're talking about. I know you're not talking about.
Huh?
I know you ain't old Chuck and Doug Tom.
Chuck and Doug, yeah. he leads the whole league in air distance. He's bombs away,
Skip,
Tom.
Skip. Throwing the ball far and not having it completed does nothing. Let that sink in.
Well, don't call him Dink and Dunk, Tom.
I call him Chuck and Dunk.
Oh.
Because he Chuck really? And Dunk.
Oh, is he?
Yeah.
Because they don't protect him. Yeah.
Everybody protects him. Mm. That's why every time he gets sacked, he turns and look, did he hit me too hard? You know, he hit me pretty hard. My homeboy, Rodgers, Big Ben.
I hate to tell you, but Tom edged back ahead. That's what Pro Football Focus
is. No, Pro Football ain't focused on that.
And I give you, Roethlisberger has risen all the way up to second on this list, and Kyler is in the mix. I'll give you Kyler third now.
Hold on, time out.
What stories, narratives.
What is Fox Bet
degree
got?
Of difficulty.
What is Fox Bet got?
I don't care.
Okay, you said,
well,
you
what do you always tell me about the odds makers? You say they build big buildings in
but you don't
casinos
care about
it.
You don't
care people about who swallow these odds.
Hold on. You just told me all you hit me over the head with, Jenny. The Clippers were 6-point favorites over the Nuggets.
They were 8 every game.
Okay, 8. And the poor Lakers, all they could get is 6?
6.
What does they know?
Yeah. Degree of difficulty, strength, they were showing you.
Now, I give you this.
Are you telling me that people would bet more on the Clippers as a public team than the Lakers? No.
Skip, my homeboy, if you look at what he has coming down the pipeline, he's got some games. They got New Orleans. Mm-hmm. They got Tampa.
All right, we'll see.
Skip, he come up out of that thing with wins.
Right now, he's played the easiest schedule in the AFC. Way to go.
I can see him throwing for about 5 or 6 touchdowns and no picks.
Yeah, I give him a lot better shot at Tampa Bay because when he's at home, my homeboy stinks. He fell behind, 24-0 to Houston?
And ended up walking them, beating them 51-30.
Wow, way to go.
How many guys you know can fall behind by double digits and end up winning the game by double digits?
17-7 to Tennessee at
home.
Your guy
should have lost to Daniel Jones.
Your guy lost to Nick Foles,
who have yet to win another, hadn't won a game since he beat Tom.
No mercy.
James Harden has reportedly turned down a 2-year extension with the Rockets that would have made him the first player in NBA history to earn $50 million per year. Harden has apparently made it clear to ownership his goal now is to force a trade to join up with Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving in Brooklyn. However, Harden is still under contract until at least 2022, so Houston has no incentive to take any bad deal in exchange for the former MVP. Fox Sports NBA analyst Chris Broussard is with us. Chris, how does this play out?
Wow, that's the talk around the league right now. And in speaking to some people yesterday, I was told a few things. One, right now the Rockets are solely focused on dealing with Russell Westbrook and trading him, seeing what they can get for him. They're not really paying that much attention at this moment to moving James Harden, because as you mentioned, They got great leverage with Harden, and he's one of the best players in their franchise's history. They really don't want to move him, as the extension showed. I also heard this, which surprised me a little bit, but I heard it from a few people. Philadelphia right now is all in on giving Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid a try. They want to see what Doc Rivers can do with these two and see if he can get the most out of them. So I think those are two important things, because if I'm Houston, my number one trade target for James Harden is Philadelphia, whether it's Ben Simmons or Joel Embiid. So how does it play out? Look, the Rockets, as you said, have the leverage because of Harden's long-term contract. And if I'm them, I do not want what Brooklyn has to offer. I mean, the first thing is I'm probably telling Brooklyn any deals start with the name Kyrie Irving. All right, because if I get Caris LeVert and Spencer Dinwiddie, as good as they are, and maybe even Jared Allen, who I really like as a guy at the rim, you know what I am in the West? I'm just good enough to
miss the playoffs.
Miss the playoffs and not, you know, and be low in the lottery.
Right.
Like, I'm not the worst team in the league. So I'm right there stuck in no man's land for the next few years with those guys. So I really don't want what Brooklyn's bringing me, and I have the leverage. So I'm telling Harden, look, you can forget the Brooklyn stuff. I'm sorry, it's not happening unless they begin with Kyrie Irving, and I'm not sure I'd even do that. So if I think what could happen is Houston starts the season with at least Harden, if not both of them. I'd like both of them if I'm, you know, Westbrook and Harden if I'm Houston. But I think they started with at least Harden. See what happens in Philly. Because if it doesn't start out well in Philly with Simmons and Embiid, and people conclude, you know what, they just don't work together, then maybe one of them is available at the trade deadline or next offseason, and now I can get one of those guys, and that'll be my building block. I don't want just some pretty good players I can get from Brooklyn.
Chris, you and I were talking. I thought the old mantra was, go west, young man. Seemed to me everybody going east. Why is everybody going east when the beast is in the west? Skip Bayless, I thought they, the settlers, I didn't read no history book where they going east to settle land.
Wait, the beast feasted on the east for years and years and years. He cakewalked to 8 straight finals out of the Eastern Conference.
And now, Chris, we come to the west.
Yep.
Gone.
No.
Well, hold on. The Kawhi went west. And Paul George has found himself in the West. So everybody's not running.
And you see what happened. What happened to Kawhi? He can't even get past the second round. Talking about us. But anyway, back to James Harden. If I'm looking at what, think about this. What did Milwaukee give up to get Holiday? I like Holiday. He's a very good player. He ain't James Harden. So you got to start with at least 4 first-round picks and 3 to 4 swaps. That'll get me on the phone. Now I'm going to need, maybe you're right, maybe I need Kyrie, LeVert, Dinwiddie. I'm going to need a king's ransom. You see what teams are getting, what guys are giving up to get guys that aren't James Harden. But like you said, and Jenny and the Reed, they got him for 3 more years. They really don't have to do anything. But the thing that I do notice is that when superstars are upset in the NBA, teams are more apt to go ahead and move up off them. Now, New Orleans, give New Orleans credit. They held on to Anthony Davis for a year. They found out he was upset. They's like, nope, even at the trade deadline, we're not doing it. But eventually...
Well, it took a change of GM to do that.
But eventually, if James Harden is unhappy, Chris, they're going to have to get up off him. There ain't nothing you can... There's no way around it. I get it. They're going to have him... If they keep him for this year, they still got him for 2 years. But he's unhappy. You're going to have to get up off him sooner or later. But like you said... Brooklyn, to me, I think Brooklyn has the most pieces. Nobody else has anything that they're going to want. Miami is not getting off, who do we say, Skip? Bam and Tyler Hero. That's not happening. Pat Riley's not, even for James Harden, Pat Riley's not getting off Bam. Bam is a non-starter for anybody. Mm.
So, Chris Broussard.
You don't like Philadelphia?
For Joel Embiid by himself is not bringing Houston out in nowhere in the West. You need multiple superstars to even think about contending in the West. Mm.
So, back to Chris. Chris made my head hurt with all of his ramifications because I'm still trying to process the potentiality, just the possibility of James Harden trying to figure out how to play with number one, Kyrie Irving, and number two, Kevin Durant in Brooklyn.
Right.
And yet, Chris is throwing all these other curveballs over here and over here. And obviously, Daryl Morey is now running the Sixers. And I understand that potential. But again, if James is pushing like crazy to join, especially Kevin Durant, and now you're saying, well, Houston, we want Kyrie back. Well, that's a non-starter for the Brooklyn Nets because obviously...
KD.
Yeah, right. it's because... Kyrie chose the Nets in the first place, and he brought along Kevin Durant, who's like his best friend, who just says, oh, you don't want to go to the Knicks? You want to go to the Nets? Okay, let's just go to the Nets. And Kevin acted like he didn't even do any research on the Nets, and now they're there. Well, they have a brand new coach who's never coached one dribble in the NBA named Steve Nash. Great player, great guy. He has no idea how to juggle these kind of egos, because he never really had these kind of three.
Nobody has juggled these kind of egos.
So, Chris, you and I have been covering this league for a long, long time, me even longer than you. And what I learned early on was you win in the NBA with stars, superstars. The more, the merrier. The more, the better your chances are. So, I finally told Shannon, as much of a disaster as I think Kyrie and James Harden would be, and I know it's even a long shot hypothetical, but it would be chaos and disaster for those two to try to figure out how to share the basketball. Man, if I ran the Nets, I'd say this is potential chaos, but I'm going to do it. If I could do it, I would do it because I'd have a revolutionary player in James Harden. I'd have one of the clutchest players I've ever seen in Kyrie Irving. And I'd have, to me, the best player on the planet in Kevin Durant. And then you just say, Steve, good luck. Go figure it out. Because you just have to. You just have to say, I'm closing my eyes and I'm going to try this. And again, if you have to give up all those pieces that you say Houston wouldn't want, I'd give them everything. You know, LeVert, Dinwiddie, Jared Allen, Nate, Taurean Prince, name them all. That you can have all of them.
I want KD.
Okay. Well, do you want KD?
I want KD if I'm Houston.
All right. Well, you would. You would ask for KD. But that's not the point for Brooklyn.
No, it's not.
It's KD and Kyrie saying, hey, we could get James. Let's bring James here.
I think that's KD saying that. I don't think Kyrie's.
Well, I don't think so, but I don't know.
Right.
Go ahead, Chris.
I hear you, Skip. I mean, obviously, say they get James Harden, you got to give him a shot, right? It is not a fit, period.
No.
It just doesn't fit. And as you said, when you have a big three that doesn't fit perfectly, one of them has to take a step back and kind of become a glorified role player. We saw it with Kevin Love.
Yep.
We saw it with Chris Bosh.
We did.
You know, now, if the three pieces fit, like Golden State with KD and Steph and Clay, then everybody can do their thing. Or even you go, you know, Boston with Garnett, Pierce, and Allen. But these are three guys in Brooklyn, would be in Brooklyn, used to having the ball in their hands. And look, I love with them bringing Mike D'Antoni as the assistant coach, but D'Antoni now, every offense he's ever run has one guy dominating the ball and making decisions for everybody else. All the way back to Steve Nash in Phoenix. And it worked with Nash because he was pass first. How is that working with these three guys? I actually think Harden would be best suited to have the ball, drop his scoring average by about 10 points, lead him in assists, and Kyrie and Durant off the ball. But one, is Harden willing to do that? Two, is Kyrie willing to get off the ball? So I agree. I think Kyrie is the biggest challenge with these three. I think Durant and Harden would be great together. But, Skip, look, we saw it in Houston. Remember Charles Barkley, Scottie Pippen,
Olajuwon.
And Hakeem Olajuwon. And everybody says they were old. They were still at the end of their prime. They were coming off great seasons individually elsewhere, and they came together and it never worked. So, I think this would be a crazy wild chemistry experiment that, to your point, potentially could pay dividends, but I got serious doubts about how it will work.
You know, so for me, sometimes you can ask too much of a good thing, and it looks good. You know, if you, I don't eat potato salad, but, you know, you got your potatoes, you get your eggs, you get your mayo, and then somebody's like, hey, let's add raisins to pecan. Man, get out of here. You just ruined a good dish. You got KD, you got Kyrie, you got LeVert, you got Dinwiddie.
Right.
And now you try to add all this extra stuff. Skip, I get it. You, man, that's James Harden. It is hard to turn down super, super, superstar talent. But, man, you can't put all this together and think it's going to be a good dish. Skip.
No mercy.
Ezekiel Elliott's rushing yards per game have dipped every year since entering the league, and many are now taking note. His total scrimmage yards have also taken a major dip the previous two seasons after signing a historic contract extension. This prompted The Athletic's Bob Sturm to ask if it's time for Dallas to move on from their star running back. He writes that the Cowboys, quote, may have to do something they seldom do around here, own a mistake and move on. Former All-Pro quarterback Antonio Cromartie with us this morning. Antonio, do you agree with this?
No, I don't agree with it from a simple fact. I mean, he's 25 years old. He's still young. Yes, his production has gone down, but he still brings the value to that team. And he can move. He can make big plays still in the pass game, also in the running game. I just think, you know, it's been too much talked about just because now it's a down year for him with having, you know, Dak not being there and the offense is not moving the ball like it needs to. And it's just a point of just understanding, like, you don't have these type of seasons. It doesn't mean that he's falling off the cliff and that it's not going anywhere. I just think he's not having the best year right now. I think he has 150 touches for 572 yards. Still can be a 1,000-yard rusher this year. So how is it anything that he's falling off that need to move on? I think it's still a great value in Zeke and what you pay for him.
I agree. I just think Zeke is low-hanging fruit. I mean, you take Dak out of the equation. The offensive line has been banged up. Ty Smith has missed the better part of the season. Lyle Collins didn't play a single game. Zach Martin is in and out. Skip, he missed a game. He left a game early with a concussion and then missed the next game with that concussion-related symptoms. So for me, Skip, the offensive line, they're not the same team. I'm not so sure they're committed as running the football as they were early in Zeke's career. They kind of changed that. They started going to more Dak, a pass offense, and then you tried to come back to Zeke once Dak got injured, and that's very, very difficult to do. But Amari Cooper's making $20 million a year. They need to move on from that, Coop? I mean, you tell me the guy that's this season, you tell me the guy that's lived up to the money that they're getting paid. There's a reason why they're 2-7. There's enough blame to go around, but Zeke is the biggest name, and Zeke is low-hanging fruit, so I just reach up there and I pick Zeke and say, well, you know what? They need to move on. Look, now they might, Skip was mentioning earlier, Crows, that they have an escalator and they're going to have to make a decision because his 2022 salary will become guaranteed.
In March. Yeah.
So they might have to come, you know, may have that conversation. You know how they call you and they say, we need to talk to you. And this is a very difficult discussion for us because you've been so great to the franchise and we'd love to have you. But we need to take some of your money back. That's basically what they're going to ask you probably to do in this offseason, Crow.
Oh, 100%. You got to look at it. I mean, he's due $14 million in 2021 and another $13.5 million, almost $14 million in 2022. If it comes, so you're looking at it, the production's not there from this standpoint. They're looking at it like, look, either going to take a pay cut or we can release you. And at the end of the day, you're going to have debt money. They have to build around it, and then you have to figure out how the offense is going to work. You know, you got to think, Mike McCarthy's offense was never a heavy run offense anyway. So it was more of a pass offense. The run game was more of a pass, a play action, throw the ball down the field, get bits and chunks. But he had Aaron Rodgers that was throwing the ball down the field and standing plays. Same thing that Dak can do in this offense. So now you're looking at it, you're like, hey, we don't really need Zeke. It could possibly happen, but he's still a great value at 25 years old.
Crow, I cannot express to you how much I hope you're right and how much I hope this man across from me is right. My better judgment is telling me you're both wrong. Yep, he's still 25 years young, but he's running older and older to me. And I'm just going on my eye test, and I'm pretty good with the eye test. I'm just not seeing Zeke anymore. I want to, every game I say, okay, today is the day, and it's not the day. And just statistically, he led this league as a rookie with 109 yards rushing a game, not to mention the balls, as you point out, that he catches and runs with. But that's fallen all the way down this year to 64 yards a game. It's almost like half of his production as a rookie. And you look at 20-plus yard runs, he had 14 in 2016, his rookie year, led the league in rushing, 14 20-pluses. Then let's skip 17 because he was suspended, but down to 18, he had 11. And then down to last year, he had 4. And now he's got 1 this year of 20-plus yards. It's scary wrong to me. And I had to sit and watch Monday Night Football. I'm watching Dalvin Cook. He is hitting holes like lightning, flashing through the hole. And then I watched Zeke on Sunday, and it's like a flickering light bulb that's about to go bad, about to burn out. You know, that looks like Zeke is so slow. It looks like it's in slow motion going to the hole. And now Zeke is making Tony Pollard look like Dalvin Cook, because Pollard comes in and it's like, pow, pow, Zeke, boom, boom, boom. Here we go with some burst. And Tony Pollard against the Pittsburgh Steelers had 2 runs. We can see him real quick of 20-plus yards. And I'm waiting for 1 from Zeke, and I can't find it because he doesn't seem to have that left in his body. And he's still a very young man. Well, how do I defend that? What's to tell me that he's suddenly going to snap out of it? Because he hasn't snapped out of it for 2 years now.
Crow,
is it 2? Man, look, he's going through a funk. Like, you're going to have that as a player. You go through a funk. You go through those sessions. Or you may have a season where you have a down year, but it's just how you're going to bounce back from it. He's not having a great year. He's the offensive line is not there. He's missing his best friend, teammate, yeah, his brother, and that can get him going. And another thing is, it's just, you know, when you look at him, he doesn't have that same burst that you always seen when he came in as a rookie, and also you saw part of 2017 also. But you're not seeing that burst from him that you normally would see. I think it's the vision that you saw earlier in his career. I don't see that he's making the right decisions from that standpoint.
Nope.
But when you look at it, the guy can still play the ball and can change the game at any point in time if he hits the hole that he needs to. And I think that's just something that he's missing. And you can it just feels like he's not into the game as much as he was early in his career until right now.
But you can't tell me he has those same holes that he had in 2016. In 2017, mm-hmm. in 2018, in 2020. I don't see those holes because I could have ran through those holes. I might have not got 1,600, but I'd have got 500 yards at my age running through those big old holes. But here's the thing. Tony, and you talk about Tony Pollard. Crow, you've seen the number 2 receiver. Oh, boy, he's doing it. And as soon as the number 1 goes and they elevated the number 2, all of a sudden you're like, hold on. Because I tell you what, there's a guy in Pittsburgh. When he had AB draw the double coverage, he was the team MVP. Now he gets the double coverage, and Chase Claypool looked like the best receiver on the football team.
You're talking about
Juju Smith. Yeah. You see how that works? That's why Tony Pollard looks so good. You elevate him to number 1 and let him become the focal point of an opposing defense.
I buy that. I got it. But still, it's almost to the point where if you guys can guarantee me Zeke is going to have a bounce back year next year.
I can't guarantee that. Okay. No guarantee.
If Crow will, then I would say put Zeke on mothballs right now. Like, let's just put him on the shelf for the rest of the year, because where are we going?
Y'all got a chance
to win
an adventure.
7. Yeah, we're only a game back.
You only a game
loss.
Back.
Yeah. I don't know. I would save him.
Save him for what?
For next year when we win the Super Bowl, right?
Man, look here.
Hey, here you go. Dallas Cowboy fans, every year you're going to win a Super Bowl and never make it.
Right. Mm-hmm. And then you ain't putting nobody on the shelf with $15 million if he's healthy.
You're right about that. You got to play that $15 million.
Well, I'm with you. Next March, they're going to put some of that on the shelf.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
They're
going
to have to. I'm going to do the same thing with Amari Cooper, too.
Oh, absolutely.
But they just gave him his money.
Yeah, I was going to tell you, I'm going to give some of it. You got to give some of it back.
He's like the number 3 receiver right now.
Yeah, D-Law is starting to earn his keep.
Oh, yeah.
He's starting to.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, Antonio, thank you for joining us. Appreciate your time, and we'll check in with you very soon.
No mercy.